back to this precious testimony of Paul. I am just so thankful that this is such a personal testimony to each and every one of us. As Paul said so sweetly, encouraged in the Holy Ghost, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, in that, by God's grace, we need to be encouraged. Those who have run for some time for this prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you know the aches, the sorrows. You know oftentimes even the defeats. Even, praise God, when we believe not, he abideth faithful. But the greatest of hurts often are to see ones that had run so well fall away. And that truly is such a joint suffering together with Christ, because it just is an ache that is indescribable. It is a sorrow because you know the love of God for them. But we need to take this encouragement. And brothers and sisters, we are going to face these tests. If we're going to win that exalted rank of righteousness crown, we will suffer in that same arena of the champion as did Brother Paul. If I can remind us again, in Philippians chapter 1, it says in verse 29, "For you, unto you, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." And remember that "given on behalf" means in due benevolence. And this would be the exchanging of gifts as seen between a bride and a groom. But it goes on in verse 30, and Paul says, "Having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now hear to be in me." Now, that's the arena. That is, as some would call it, even the battlefield, fighting the good fight of faith. And we're talking about fighting that good fight of faith, praise his name, in the heights of the calling, the high calling, the exalted rank of righteousness crown. And yes, we will suffer together and suffer as did Paul. Now, last week, we read of Demas. And Demas, his name meant popular. It meant fortune. And this was the brother who ran well for a time, but tired of the suffering. He did not lay hold of the value. I am thankful to God that the Lord has given us a vision for the Fort Knox of heaven. And I'm grateful to God that there is that desire building in those that will apprehend the grace that if by any means, Lord, I might apprehend. And this poor brother, he settled that winning Christ was too great a loss. As it says, he loved the present world, and he departed from Paul's gospel. And in that departing from Paul's gospel, the very best was missed. Now, I am confident, because it's just our human nature, and I've seen Christians in this state, they think, well, I'm just fine. I'm still good. I am confident that Demas felt somehow, some way, well, I know this doctrine of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I understand that he's going to have a bride, but I'm going to go do it my way, and I'm still going to win his best. And no, you won't. And I'm so thankful that Paul's gospel, praise God, sets it very straight and it brings it right back to the reality. Preach no other gospel. The secrets of men will be judged according to my gospel. Praise be to God. It's not to exalt Paul. It's not to exalt that vessel at all. But it was the message that was given to Paul. And God help us to wake up, and God help us to stand and withstand, and having done all to stand, and by his grace, to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we we should let them slip. Amen? Amen. This is, praise God, the calling of the lover upon our lives. Now, next, he commended his yoke fellows in Christ. Wasn't that wonderful? Whether it was Crescens or Mark or Luke or Titus. They were warriors and they were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm sure they wavered, as Paul will encourage them that for a moment, I don't know if we'll get to it this week, he said, no man stood with me. But he was thankful, praise God. Wasn't that something? They may have fainted for a while, but Paul didn't sour and say, oh, you faithful followers, where are you now? Where were you? Never said that. He was thanking the Lord for they were running now, and they were running well. God help us to be like that. See, that's the, praise God, that's the Father's heart for the prodigal. Amen? See, that brother that was there in the kingdom, he didn't have that heart at all. You know, maybe let him back in here, but he's certainly not going to be in the palace. He can go work out there in the stall and prove something to us. And all God wants to see is show up. You're a son. Come home. Hallelujah. Let's sup. I'll get the coat, the ring, and here's the kiss, honey. Let's go have the fatted calf. Isn't that grand? Praise be to God. See, that's not man's ways. Man's ways is always we have to prove it. We have to show it. All of these different things. But that is not the grace of God. Now, the grace of God will perform those things in you as you yield to God. You'll see those precious works of righteousness come forth. Give me chills thinking of it. Looking at these lives out here and what God's doing in you. Praise His name. And that's the treasure in the earthen vessel. Because that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise His name, how we know this. And that's the confidence we have that it is Christ and He is so for us. But tonight, brothers and sisters, we come to Alexander here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in the 14th verse. And Alexander the coppersmith, and we'll go ahead and read verses 14 and 15. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also. For he hath greatly withstood our words. Now, again, as we read here tonight, and the Lord so emphasizes, names mean something. And Alexander's name means something. It means man's defender. His name means the helper of men. Now, when you're man's defender and you're the helper of men, let me tell you something. You're going to be a popular guy. You're going to be Mr. Philanthropist. You're going to be the one that's got all the soup kitchens from here to New York City. You're going to do all these things and show how you are the helper of man. But that often is so empty with God. And brothers and sisters, as Christ told us so clearly, the poor you will always have with you, but me just a little while. He went on to say, let the dead bury the dead. Now man would say, well, that's an insensitive thing. Jesus said, let me tell you something, your life's but a vapor. You better get on with me. Amen? If you want a touchy-feely life, you will miss God's best. But I'll tell you what, the feelings of the Holy Ghost that He'll bring to your life as you yield to Him, the works that He will perform in your life as you allow the grace of God to work in you, it will have in you and cause you to do things that you never, ever imagined for the glory of God. And that's the truth. Praise God. See, but we look to Him in this. Man in his self-defense, as the name Alexander means, and also, by the way, coppersmith is the worker of iron, and iron always speaks of judgment. But man in his self-defense can only equate to one thing, and that's going to be judgment. And that's exactly what Paul says to about Alexander, is he will be judged according to his works. And brothers and sisters, though a Christian will never burn, The Word of God tells us that the works of self-righteousness and evil and all of those things, apart from the working of the grace of God in our lives, will burn like wood, hay, and stubble. Because that's exactly what it is, but for God's grace. And that word, reward, I was reading this and was thinking so much of how we've heard what it means in such a precious way. But in this regard, it means payback or payday. Payday. Now think of how sweetly we have heard for years about payday. Someday, payday. Hallelujah. And the payday, praise God, that is waiting for the grace and glory doctrine ones that will be a full reward. But in this regard, the payday for Alexander, oh, what a tragedy. What a burning of wood, hay, and stubble. Now, Alexander, we read about with Hymenaeus back in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let's go back there and read about him again. And this is important stuff. This isn't reading about a guy a long time ago. This is reading about the spiritual wickedness and the darkness and all of those things that God is having us fight right now. That devil's wickedness is the same back then as it is today. And thank God we're not fighting flesh and blood, but this is what it is that we're fighting. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "They're holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." See, they put it away. They just cast away faith. When you cast away faith, you've cast away the Word of God. There's only one faith, and it is in the Word of God. You can tell me that they have the faith of this or the faith of that. That is a belief. There is but one faith, and that's faith in Jesus Christ, and here he is. It's called the Holy Bible, and praise be to God, it is the Word of the Lord, and that is the faith. But what had happened here is some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, we also read of this Alexander back in Acts 19. He was known there in that silversmith's uproar in Ephesus. And you can go back. We don't have time to do that. But in Acts 19, you'll read of that episode. And you know that Paul gave him over to Satan. Boy, that makes you shudder, doesn't it? Huh? Now, you got to understand something here, and we talked about this, and you best know this. Alexander was one of Paul's first converts. He was one of the first ones that came along with him early on. And I'm not going to say necessarily, I don't know how much he yielded, but back over there in Acts 19, you'll read there that the Jews, it said, drew Alexander out when they were having this episode, this group of people starting to riot out there because what was happening was these silversmiths, they've made these idols of Diana. And Paul was starting to preach the word of the Lord, and he was starting to step on money toes, you know. He was starting to get into people's pockets because he was preaching Christ and him crucified. And they were starting to realize they didn't need these idols, so they weren't buying them. And these guys that were making these idols understood, hey, we're not going to have a business much longer. We got to work something up here and get this guy out of here. Well, they got together again. The Jews saw some opportunity there, and I'm talking about Pharisee. And these Jews, it said, they saw Alexander over there, and they drew him out. And that literally means they drug him out. See, they knew that Alexander had been with Paul. And there was something going down there. But you have to understand here that Alexander was one of Paul's converts. And yet, in all of that, he swerved from the truth. He swerved so much that Paul points him out and says, oh my, I'm just going to have to let you, if you're going to run with Satan, I'm going to give you over to him. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a hard way. See, this Alexander, he didn't just leave as Demas did. See, Demas left and went a popular way. But this Alexander, he left and he intentionally did Paul much evil. He withstood Paul's gospel. See, that's when you do evil, is when you're withstanding Paul's gospel. Remember that as we get into this. And brothers and sisters, this is very personal to my life. It's been very dear. I'm thankful to God over these past 7 years as your pastor. This testimony has comforted my life. I've had many people that have come to me, especially over the years, but especially in these past seven. And I hear it often, and my heart aches. But again, I think this is just about part of the growing up. But you'll hear people say, well, why doesn't Jesus still do those great miracles like he did for Paul and like he did for Moses and like he did for all of those children and different ones back in the Old Testament? And the first thing that just hurts my heart is, honeys, please put away those childish things. And I mean that because that's a child speaking, because it's not that we're grown up yet in looking into the Word of God. Now, I take them often back to the very beginning. You look at Adam, the first man. Don't you think that God knew that he had to speak audibly with Adam in order to encourage his heart? He did not have the written word. This had to be a plan of God, and God chose it this way, and the word came from, praise God, God's mouth, and encouraged him that way. And even Abraham, you think there was no Paul's gospel to encourage Abraham, so God had to call him out and to show him time again how marvelous and miraculously that I have you. And then you think of Moses. You know, what a time that they lived in. There had never been a time like that before. For 400 years, those Hebrews were in slavery with the Egyptians. All right? All they knew before that time was God's victory. Always, always, always. Now, they forgot that they turned away from God, and God was going to show them what was going to come down. And he told them what was going to come down, and it sure did. But they, I am confident, had completely forgotten about the faithfulness and the power of God. They had been in that state for so long, they were distraught. So God, again, in his great grace and mercy, his encouragement had to be grand to wake them up, to stir them up. So God gave those great plagues. And God, praise God, brought them through the wilderness with those mighty miracles. And he showed himself faithful over and over again. So I think you're getting it now. But now here we are. Here we are. And you know what? We got it all. We have it all. We have all the Word of God. All of it. Isn't that awesome? We have every bit, praise God, of all of those events recorded and given to us. The Word completely finished. And just think, God tells us we've even got a better thing. He tells us that we have even exceeding great and precious promises. He tells us that without us, they cannot be made perfect. Praise the Lord, you're too quiet. This is yours. This is mine. This is ours in Christ. And then think of this. We have the Holy Ghost to make it alive. And praise God, a full overflowing love in us to run after it. Hallelujah. But yes, I will say this. God sure does and still does miracles today. Oh, you know it. And I'm so thankful that he does. Healings, praise his name. Time and time again, he just shows himself so faithful. But I will encourage you in this. We must remember we are in the greatest time of faith there ever was. This is the greatest time. This is the coming of the Lord time. This will be the time, praise God, that the itching ears are rampant. Amen? Amen. The Christian as a whole will be asleep, as a slumber. Not caught up in the depth of the gospel. Not wanting to go out from among the camp. Praise God. He tells us these things. And thank you, Jesus, that we live in this time. As it says in Romans 8:25. How wonderful. He reminds us many ways, but this is a great one. But if we hope for what we see not. See, if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, if we don't see it, praise God, then we'll with patience wait for it. See, if we saw these things, brothers and sisters, with our natural eyes, the things that we are hoping for, then the perfecting work of patience would not have her perfect work. It could not work any other way, praise God. It tells us that the eyes of faith, we abound in the hope of what grace is preparing in us for the moment of His appearing. Amen. Now, overcoming faith, brothers and sisters, that full overcomer faith, that is the most holy faith. And that is the time that we are living in right now. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is not going to allow our lives to walk by sight. It will never be that way. God will always have it that we walk by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. Praise God. You think of the ones in the Old Testament that were our testimony of the full overcomers of the Old Testament. God had them waiting. God had them abiding and being very, very patient. Whether it was Moses, can you imagine that? He knew that God had called, put a calling on his life. He knew that the Lord had chosen him for some mighty things that he was going to perform through him for Israel. And there he was, 40 years old. He had been in that wicked kingdom, but God had so sweetly testified to him through his mom. Hallelujah. I'm ready now. 40 years. I've been tested. And God said, I have a different thought. We got 40 more years, son. And you're going to go on to the backside of the desert. And even though you have been counseled by the brilliant minds of the world for 40 years, son, you're going to go tend some goats. Isn't that something? Isn't that how God does it? And there was never a prophet such like Moses, was there? But that's what God had in store for him. Think about David and how he had to wait on God. You think about sweet Jacob there. In going to get his wife. Oh, I'll work 7 years for her. Thought he was having his honeymoon night. My, oh my, what a surprise. 7 more years went just like that. Patience, amen? And it goes just like that when we have a heart just like Jacob that says, I love her. I love her. Doesn't time fly? Praise be to God when that goes on. So that's what God can do. So we need to understand this, that this patience is having such a perfect work in our lives, brothers and sisters. But I will say this, never forget that the bride of Christ is the greatest miracle of grace there will ever be. Praise the Lord. The greatest transformation, the greatest, praise God, work of His grace. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we're being testified here with Paul and his testimony of Alexander. And it is going on now. See, that's what's so beautiful about the Word of God, isn't it? It's alive. It's real. It's the epistles read of men. He is the author and finisher of your faith. And he's writing that novel, those volumes, praise God, of the Word in your life. It's so captivating how God does this for us. But and I'm thankful, as I will go on with this, and I pray that this doesn't come out anything but what it is. This is a glorying in what God has placed us in. This fight of good faith, brothers and sisters, is not complaining. It's thanking God. It's rejoicing. And what I'm specifically talking about are the Alexanders that the Lord has put in my life. Amen. Praise be to God for that. We'll go right back to where we started in Philippians. We're going to have that same, praise God, conflict. Amen. If you don't have it, You're not fighting the good fight of faith to win the crown. That's period. The word of God is true. It is so true, it's so exact, it's so perfect. If this same conflict is not in your life, you're not fighting. You're not holding fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's not working in your life. Now, we need to pray for ourselves, for one another. Lord, wake us up. Amen. Praise God. We don't coast. Didn't say, well, you know, I went to this church, or I went to this Bible school, and I went to that, and I sat under so-and-so, and I got them all checked off. Where'd the crown go? Amen? You better know it. God help us to be humble. Because we need a lot of grace, don't we? Amen, we do. Praise His name. But you see, there's ones that think in our lives, brothers and sisters, and I'll testify in my own life, that they're doing me harm. That they're doing this meeting harm. And I keep telling them, and I pray that you would too, that you're not fighting me. You're not fighting Living Waters Tabernacle. You are fighting against God. And I will encourage you that that is not a good fight to pick. It's just not. If you read the Word of God, I'm sure that I'm confident in saying this. The victory has already been won. So praise God. But see, my heart aches for people who throw stones. And it does. I've sat with them. They've come in my office. They've tried to bring me lists of how we're going to remedy this and that. It's amazing what the enemy can get your kooky mind to think about. And tied up in people that have already gone to heaven. All of these different things. I mean, my goodness. It's just, again, chaos. Now, you're living in chaos. You're living in that kind of a twist. You know who the author of that is. You know who your fellowship would be with. Amen? I'm here again to tell it like it is. We don't have much time. We don't have much time. And by God's grace, if we can be used to encourage ones, again, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Thank you, God. But there are venomous lies sometimes. There's distortions. And those things carry silly women away. And that can be a literal thing. Not to pick on the ladies, but it sure can be. And for men as well. But God knows those who are His. And as we rejoiced on Sunday night, and that's just such a symphony that I don't think I've ever heard like ever before that God is playing this in my heart, of Ephesians 1, where He says, before the foundation of the world. Isn't that awesome? He saw those in His Son that would be the ones that would go on and fight the good fight of faith and press for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And have that desire, as David said, I pant after Thee. I'm delirious for You, Lord. And as Paul said it, if by any means I might attain. Those are the ones, praise God, He saw that would take the grace, because that's the only way it can happen, to be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Isn't that wonderful? I thank the Lord how He brings us into this place. And what our theme, all by His grace, is we praise Him for His grace. That's the word of the Lord. That we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, there would be nothing else to praise. There isn't anything else to praise. It's Him for His grace. His great grace. And in that, praise God, the very glory of God is built in us. Isn't that something? Glorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our Lord. So you see, it's awesome. It is awesome. Paul's trials and his wisdom and his experience. Praise the Lord. This comforts us, doesn't it? See how the word of the Lord tells us that? That, you know, as we go through these things, and as the word tells us there in Corinthians, that as we went through these trials, we are able to comfort others with that truth. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what's working in Brother Paul as the Holy Ghost is encouraging this in his life. And I'm telling you, it's just as if Paul was standing right next to me. How about you? Huh? Amen. Amen, amen. Because this is the word of the Lord, and it is alive. And the reason is, it's because it's the same Spirit. Praise be to God. As you go back and read that verse 15, of whom, Timothy? Put your name in there. Of whom, Jesse? Of whom? Brother Hawkins or Brother Hines, or put your name in there. Be thou well also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. See, they withstand Paul's gospel. They didn't just ignore it, they withstood it. And that means to be set against it. That means to be in a fight of it. It says to be awake of those, aware of them, and take guard. Know it. Know it. My heart aches, and but you see this, and it's just the word of God. It shows how faithful and true he is, but there still is such a sorrow in those that want to fight against it. But that is our miracle, brothers and sisters. It is a miracle because this word is working effectually in us. And I thank the Lord because I have just a little insight of old wretched man that I am without God. And that this strums across my heart. Let me tell you something. The Red Sea is pale in comparison to what I just said right there. And it is the truth that the Lord would have this life. And your life, too. Let's all just line up right there, and we can push one another away. No, I should be in the front. No, I should be in the front. Paul already got it straight. The chief of sinner. Okay? Praise God. But I thank the Lord in that. And God help us to always have, in all sincerity and in humbleness to the Lord. Lord, that's me. That's me. That's our old man. That's me. That's wicked, despicable, ungodly. Not one thought of God. That would be me but for God. Oh my. And the reality of but for the grace of God, there go I. As you see different ones that really have run well and you fellowshiped with and so sweet. And they turn away. And it's a heavy thing. But brothers and sisters, you cannot be caught in that. As Brother Paul even talked about Demas, as he speaks here about Alexander, it's but for a moment. He points it out. We do have to be aware of this. But you know what? I'm going to meditate on these things. I'm going to meditate on the little handful. I'm going to thank the Lord for Luke, who's with me. Amen? See, all throughout the Word of God, see, this is who the Holy Ghost, the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart, this is who he is speaking to. And that can defeat us when we go into that sorrow well and just stay there. It begins to defeat us. It can cause lots of different emotions. To where you're sad, to where you're angry, to where you're bitter, to where all of these things. You go on. You have to run on. You love people. You pray for them. They can be the closest of family to us, naturally speaking even. But lovest thou me more than these? Yeah, I don't think you'd be here tonight if that wasn't real by God's grace. You know what's being preached here. And thank Jesus for it. And it isn't insensitive. It's the most sensitive, praise God, heartfelt, spirit emotional doctrine there could ever be. Ravished beyond. But Jesus. But Jesus. Hallelujah. So, you take this, and what a miracle it is as it works in our lives. God brings this on in us. And praise be to God, it is the same as we began tonight. That same conflict. And that conflict is of Paul, that same conflict. It means the same arena. I love that. See, I always love to think of the gladiators and the different ones like that. And they'd be in the arenas and they're fighting and all of that. You got the whole armor of God? Oh, what a fight. It's beautiful. Oh, how he's caused you by his grace to wield the sword. Oh, what a mighty man. His hand just melded with the sword. He doesn't even have to pick it up. It's just right there by the grace of God. Skillful, rightfully dividing. That's what he does. Takes us through the fire, through the flood, through the lions. And all the while, we're praising. Looking at this life. That's what's so beautiful as we grow up into him in all things. We look at this life only through the word of God. Isn't that precious? Aren't you thankful? You talk about peace and rest and strength. You talk about the perfect love, the word of God, that casts out all fear. Well, I'm starting to tremble. Oh, wait. But God said. Jesus told us, O devil, it is written. It is written. And it's never changed. See, his promises are yea and amen. Amen? We're feasting. Praise God. And that's why it is line upon line and precept upon precept. And how strong that lays in our life as that precious building upon that foundation comes forth. Hallelujah. But you see, as we close this up, how far one can fall from the truth. Oh, yes. When you set out against Paul's gospel, when you set out against those that love Paul's gospel, I'm going to get real intimate now. You can still think you're yielding to Paul's gospel. But let me tell you something. You're not yielding to Paul's, that precious gospel. That's not working effectually in your life when you're against those that truly are running for God's best. Do you get that? I pray you do. We can say a lot of things. But there's a thing called not in word only, but in deed and in truth. Know it. See, when we set out against Paul's gospel, we'll turn the word of God into a lie. Even in our own lives. I'm talking something real personal now. Sheep acting not just like a dog, but acting like a grievous wolf. And it is amazing, and I can testify of this, I've had Christians try to harm me and to harm and to bring evil, I should say, to this precious ministry far much more than any heathen. It's the truth. So that's why Paul says, for whom be thou where? See, the devil, if you will allow him to, will put a ring in your nose and he'll lead you around. And that's what Paul finally said. I'm just going to give you over to Satan. That what you're going to do? You go do it. So, but just as Paul, just as with Brother Copley or Brother Hill, Brother Hawkins, you know, God supports and encourages and holds up his anointed. And he will do the same for us. And he will. And I'm confident because God in his word tells us so. And it is amazing. I think about Demas. Again, that name popular. I'm sure he had many followers. I'm confident that those were the first mega churches. He had lots of them packed in. Alexander as well. Shoot, when you're a helper of men, you know you're going to have a lot of followers. You're going to be such a popular guy. You're going to have answers for everybody. They're going to be flocking. Walking on fiery coals till they get burnt on their feet. But see, Paul, he only had a few. He only had a few. You know? Man's eyes, they said, oh, Paul's just a flop. See, that didn't work out. That was nothing. That guy must have been the one. He's got the hordes of people over there. But yet, 2,000 years later, whose gospel was recorded? Whose gospel? Paul's gospel. Whose gospel still goes on? Paul's gospel. Who had the victory all along? Brother Paul. Who finished, praise God, with a full joy as they were taking his head? Brother Paul. See, this is the word of the Lord. And you can't stop it. You're not going to quench it. You're not going to bury it. He keeps turning the world upside down again and again. And I think, praise be to God, how grand it is to study the Word of God. How thankful to the Lord I am that His Spirit, praise God, makes it real. It's really like downright fun. I have to admit, I have a good time in Jesus. I'm thankful that we do. But He is precious, brothers and sisters. And I can only pray that we continue to yield, and we continue to yield by becoming more lowly. Lord, you must increase, and I must decrease. Amen? And praise God, we just begin to disappear. And oh man, what kind of fellowship comes on in here? I believe that's why it gets sweeter all the time, because it's all more of Him. Cheering on and praising and giving thanks to our champion of faith. Behold the Lamb. Isn't He stunning? Isn't He beautiful? Aren't we thankful? Hallelujah. The Word of God living in us. And what a transformation is going on in the saints. We are becoming like Him, filled with all the fullness of God, and growing up. And growing up into all His perfect and complete will. Amen. Amen. Praise God, it's wonderful to be single-purposed, that singleness of heart. Praise God. As David, he was a man after the very heart of God. I pray by God's grace that I be a man who would follow Paul as he followed Christ. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.